Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning in Jesus' name. It's good to be gathered in God's house. Good to be gathered with one another in God's house too, and to share this very special time as we come into God's presence together and to hear His voice, to hear Him speak to us in His Word, and to hear what He has for us this morning. And so it's an exciting time. It's exciting every time we come together. A special welcome to our visitors. We're glad that you are here today as well. Feel free to sign the guest book if you'd like in the back by out in the entryway. You could also fill out a blue card that's in your pew. You could hand that off to the ushers, and that's a way for us to get to know you a little bit better as well. If you have any prayer requests that you would like prayed for during the service this morning, fill out a yellow card and give that to one of the ushers, and they will make sure to hand that off to me as well for later in the service. We have a few things I want to bring to your attention. Before I do, I would like to make a special note and a special presentation. It's kind of a little bit of a sad day for us. Bittersweet in the sense that it's exciting that we have some new pianists that are coming into our congregation here to help with that time, but bitter because it means that we're losing Lori. And this is Lori's last Sunday with us. There's a little note in your bulletin about that. And Lori, on behalf of the congregation, we are so thankful for you. And thankful for the last many years that you've been with us, and for the wonderful service that you have provided to us. An aid, you know, it's not just a friendly thing, but it's an aid in worship, and you've had a big part in that in our weekly time, and so we're very grateful to you for that. If you can come up, we have a gift that we'd like to present to you. And I think it's okay to share our appreciation by way of an applause here, too, just to say thank you. Yeah. So thank you again very much for all that you've done for us. God bless you. And we hope that this is not the last time we see you either. We'd love to see you again. Yeah, good. Thank you. As far as announcements go, there are a few here. Basically, as I was thinking about this morning, the one thing I thought I would say to you was stay tuned and keep your ears open for how things are going to start to transition now back into the fall schedule, because it's not like everything for the fall is going to change all next week. So there's a little bit of a gradual trend. So if you're wondering if there's like kids club or Bible study or confirmation, things like that, that's my encouragement to you. Pay a little extra careful attention to the schedule, to the bulletin. You can find the schedule online. That's a reminder also anytime for you. And so this week is kind of our last week of normal summer stuff. There isn't as much going on here. There is coffee and cookies after the service today, Bible study and youth group on Wednesday, and then next Sunday, Labor Day weekend, is our regular summer schedule. But then after that, things start to change. Confirmation starts the following Wednesday, September 6th, and then you can see in your bulletin, too, that September 10th is our Welcome Back Sunday. And so there's a potluck that day. Invite anybody that you want for that. Sunday school will be starting there as well, and so we're excited for that time, too. And then we'll start, like I said, continuing to transition back into our fall Wednesday schedules and things like that. So stay tuned for all that kind of stuff. There is a few special things going on, too. On Sunday morning, the 10th, at 8:30, we are starting a practice time for the musicians and the audio and video people who take part in the service. And so if that's you, if you're interested in that, and we're kind of asking if anybody, so not just those who are directly participating that day, but anybody who normally participates or who would like to get into that part of our ministry here at St. Paul's, if you can be here at 8:30 on Sunday morning, the 10th, that would be very helpful so that we can kind of get people going on how we're going to kind of conduct those brief practice times. It's not a huge commitment, and get that all kind of structured so that it's done well, done right for our morning worship service. So keep that in mind. Pray about that if that's something that you'd want to consider jumping in on and helping with as well. There is a brief council meeting this morning after the service, and so if those of you who are on the church council can meet back in the fireplace room after the service, that would be that. that, that would be very helpful too. So make a note of that for those of you to whom that pertains. Let's see. One other thing too that I just wanted to briefly mention. Our newsletter for September went out this week. And maybe some of you read it, maybe some of you didn't. It mostly goes off through the email. We do have a couple of hard copies out on the board in the hallway too. And what I've done starting this month now is a little series kind of to help prepare us and answer some questions for the internship that we'll be having starting in January with Ryan. And so that's a way for us to kind of communicate and get the discussion going about what that's going to look like, how it's going to go, and things like that. So just make a note to read that email if you didn't already put it in your trash, and that kind of stuff too. And then stay tuned for future months, October, November, December. We'll be writing more about that too. And as always, with any of that, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to come and talk to myself or to one of the councilmen. I think that's all the announcements I have for us for today. Am I missing anything? Yes.
I do have more things for Kids Club and Sunday School. We did set a date for Kids Club. It will start September 13th. It's the Wednesday after the beginning of Sunday School. We also are still in need of Sunday School teachers. If you look at your bulletin, it has a list. We do have the adult class covered by MICA, but other than that, we're still looking for pre-K, K through first, youth group, and women's club. Class, not club. So if you want to let me know or any of the other Christian Ed committee know that you are willing to help out, even if just partial, like every other Sunday, that'd be great. We would love to hear from you. Or if you're willing to be a sub, we'd love to get also a sub list of maybe 5 or 10 people that would be willing to jump in here and there as teachers need to go out for different things. Let us know. I think one other announcement is we also have a music and missions leader that normally takes place about 15 minutes during Sunday school, so 8:45 to 9 o'clock. And we are looking for someone who's willing to help lead the music and speak on missions during that time. Rachel Larson would help train you in for that, so you don't have to jump in not knowing anything. That is what I have.
All right, so pray about that too, and if there are some opportunities, positions that you might be open to helping with regards to our children's ministry. It's been done before, team teaching also, so if you want to be involved but don't think that you can commit to the full-time schedule of Sunday school, maybe recruit a friend to help share that load with, and that might be a way to do it also. Okay, any other announcements? And if not, then let's hear our call to worship this morning from Psalm 84. How lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. How blessed are those who dwell in thy house. They are ever praising thee. Let's stand and praise.
Be seated. We rejoice today as Jesus says in John, that doesn't call us servants, he calls us friends, because he has made known to us what the Father has told him and what it is that he came here to do. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We start today with Jesus Saves.
Steams and cream. John 18:12 says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." We're going to sing, "The light of the world is Jesus."
Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Speak, O Lord.
Your
That's a beautiful prayer. And as we come into God's presence now and spend this time with him, it's appropriate and good and healthy for us to do so humbly, reverently, confessing our sins, acknowledging that we do not deserve to be in God's presence. And so let's confess our sins together then, and you'll find the words of that confession printed in your bulletin. They'll also be on the screen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Like I said, we don't deserve to be in God's presence, but because of Jesus, we can be and we are. And we rejoice in the truth that someday in Christ Jesus, we will be in God's unfiltered presence in heaven someday. It is my joy to read for you this morning from Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus. Set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. It is in Christ Jesus that we find freedom, that we find salvation, cleansing, whole cleansing, complete cleansing. And so we rejoice and we praise him and we thank him today that our sins are forgiven in him. Amen. This time I'm going to call on Mark Sletten to read our scripture.
Our Old Testament text this morning is found in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 18. Please rise for the reading of God's Word. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 9. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek to take my life and to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mehola, you shall anoint to be your prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Our gospel text is found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Matthew 14, beginning with verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. And when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Here ends the reading.
That's a remarkable confession of faith there at the end of that text, after the storm. "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's confess our faith using these words from the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen." You may be seated. This time I'll call on the ushers to wait upon us. God, we are thankful to give back just a small portion of what you have so lavishly provided for us. We are thankful, God, to you for all that you do for us. We ask that you would bless these gifts, use them for your kingdom's work on this earth. Lord, I pray that that you would help us to be faithful stewards and caretakers of all that you've given us. Lord, I think especially this morning of this precious message of the gospel, that we would be proclaiming it faithfully each time we gather like this. So I pray for that today, God. Help us to hear the gospel and to receive it in faith. In your name I pray, amen. We do have a children's message this morning, so I'll ask the kiddos to come on up at this time. Okay, glad you guys are here this morning. Are you excited for Sunday school to start? Just a few weeks away, two more weeks, and then Sunday school starts, and that's exciting. If I said to you, let me tell you this first of all. If you didn't know, I took a trip to Germany a few weeks ago. Does anybody know where Germany is? Where's Germany? Where's Germany? South of Denmark. That's very precise and good and right. Good job. Yes. Yeah, it's south of Denmark. Where's Denmark? What's that? On the earth. That's not as precise, but also true. What continent is it on?
Europe.
It's in Europe, right? And that's right. Yeah, the English Channel is by there. What language do they speak in Germany, do you think? German, yes. Very, very good question. Easy question to answer. So if I said to you, "Guten Morgen, Fräulein Annika," what would that be? Good morning. Your teacher is from Germany, so that didn't work out very well for me. If I said "Fräulein Annika," what does that translated mean? Good morning, Miss Annika, or "Guten Morgen, Herr Magnus." Well, what's that? Good morning, Mr. Magnus. That's right. Yeah, we could go on and on down. If I said to you, "Ich muss essen," what would that be? Any ideas? You haven't learned that one yet from your teacher. Somebody said it back there. I need to eat. That's what that means, okay? Now you didn't know what that meant, right? And when I was in Germany, sometimes it was very difficult to know how to communicate to people who didn't speak any English. And so I had to learn how to talk and how to speak at least a little bit so that I could do things like get food, because we need food, right? What are some other things we need to do every day? What's that? Say hi, yep. work. How about this one? Go to the bathroom. We had to learn how to know how to find the bathrooms, right? And when everything's in a different language, we have no idea. And that can make, that I can tell you something, that can make people feel very uncomfortable, okay? And it can be hard to go into a place where we've never been before, and we maybe don't speak the same language, we maybe don't eat the same kind of food, and all these kinds of things. It can be a very difficult and intimidating thing. You know, in America, we speak English, and there are other people who come to America that speak different languages and so forth too. But we learn how to communicate to one another. But even within, like, for example, this congregation, we speak the language, right? We eat food, we know where the bathrooms are, hopefully. Okay, if you don't, talk to me, we can figure that out. But you know, sometimes even this congregation is a new place for people. And sometimes that can be a little bit intimidating. And I'm not specifically picking on guests today. But that's just the way it is. Or if a person who's not a Christian comes into a church, have you ever thought about like how they would feel and what they would think? You know, we say all these things and we say these creeds and we sing these songs, but a lot of times in America, there are people who have never heard these things before. Or to take it another level, there are people, if I said to you, did you know there are people who have never heard of Jesus? Would you believe me? Yeah, it's true. There are people in America, there are people in Fargo, who in Moorhead and West Fargo, who have never heard of Jesus before. And that's kind of crazy for us to think about, because we grow up going to Sunday school and things like that. But they need Jesus just like we do, don't they? Yeah, we all need Jesus. And so it's a wonderful thing that God has given us his word that we can use to learn about Jesus, right? And then also, what else can we do with the Bible? Besides learn about Jesus, what else can we do with it? Tell other people about it too, right? Yeah, we can tell other people about Jesus. Give your Bibles to them. That's a great idea, yeah. We can tell other people about Jesus. We can help them to learn how to understand who Jesus is and what he did. What did Jesus do? What's the biggest thing he did? Died on the cross, okay? And what did that accomplish? He died for our sins, forgiveness, right? We can tell people that, and that's a good thing. We can help them to understand and to know that, and that's a wonderful thing. You know, we're starting Sunday school in a few weeks. That would be a great opportunity for you guys to invite friends to come to Sunday school and to spend that time with you, to come to church, and to spend this time learning about Jesus, even if they've never heard of him before. Then it would be good, and you could do that. You could be a friend, and you could help them learn so that you'd make them feel comfortable so that they don't come in to church feeling like a stranger or like a foreigner that doesn't understand anything. Okay, so keep that in mind. Pray about that. Thanks for coming up, and have a good rest of your day. Before the message, beautiful prayer there again, too. Let's turn in our Bibles, if you have them, to Romans chapter 9. And if you would stand with me also while I read these verses for us this morning, out of respect for God's word. I'm reading this morning Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. Lord, these are your words, and they are truthful. They are filled with truth. They are truth, because your word is truth. You are truth. God, help us to see that today. Help us to hear your word and what you would have for us this morning, God. I pray that you would use this time in a mighty way in our hearts and in our lives. Teach us, encourage us, comfort us, strengthen us in our faith. We pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Are there people in your life stubbornly rejecting the message of the gospel? I say that with just a little bit of sarcasm because the answer should very obviously be yes. And we got to be a little careful with that, because it's not our job to be the judge of a person's eternal destination. It's not our job to know the hearts of everyone around us. But at the same time, it's not always a hard question either. We just don't always like to think about it. I have family and friends that very openly say they aren't Christians. There are others who say they are, and they certainly may be, but their definition is very different than mine. And sometimes a person's definition of Christianity is not at all a biblical definition, and it's okay for us to be honest about that, because Jesus says clearly in Matthew 7 to beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing but inwardly are ravenous wolves. There are going to be people who sound Christian and look Christian, but they're not. Jesus said we would know them or recognize them by their fruits. Fruits, works, they don't save us, but they're indicators of faith. 1 John chapter 2 talks about those who say they know Christ, but they're liars. Are there people in your life rejecting the message of the gospel? At the beginning of Romans 9 here, Paul's tone drastically shifts from the previous chapter. I preached on a few verses of chapter 8 a few weeks ago. Verse 30 ends with the comment that those who God has justified, he has also glorified. And then verses 31 through 39 carry this triumphant attitude. If God is for us, nothing can be against us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And then chapter 9. I'm speaking the truth. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. It's an abrupt change in tone. Chapter 8 is filled with gospel promises, but the reality for Paul, and it is for you and I too, that not everyone knows these promises. Not everyone is trusting in them. Not everyone is a Christian. And that's kind of a big deal. And it's sobering because we know what that means. Rejection of Christ and his saving work means an eternity in hell, separated from Christ and everything that's good. What we find in these verses this morning, friends, is Paul's heart for the lost. We also find a reference to his consolation and his solution, if you will, and so we're going to spend some time with that also. Verse 1 starts out here with Paul making an oath of sorts. It's like a triple oath. This is how strongly he feels about this. He invokes the name of Christ in truth. I am speaking the truth in Christ. That's the first one. I am not lying. That's the second one. And then he brings up his conscience. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. That's the third one. We do this too when we say things like, we swear it's true, or honest to goodness, or just honestly. I remember someone telling me once that when you start a sentence with, to be honest, the implication is that you otherwise aren't. So don't use that phrase because it implies that you usually lie. Okay, there might be some truth to that perspective, I guess, but I don't think it's wrong to use it either. Because when I hear that, and when I hear phrases like that, I hear it like Paul uses these phrases as emphasis to hear me out on this. This is important. This is truth that you need to hear. It's truth that I really care about, to be honest, Paul says. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. He's describing grief and pain. Unceasing pain is the definition of the word there. There are some of you who know about that. Maybe a lot or all of you. A constant grief. Not a grief that overwhelms you. But it's constantly there for a loved one or someone or people who are rejecting Christ. Rosenius was the Swedish pastor who wrote a great devotional on the book of Romans, and he talks about this in his book, that the heart of a Christian is filled with exalted joy in Christ, all right? And yet he says there is constant unrest and sorrow because of others being unsaved. A restless concern for the conversion of others. Sverdrup, the Norwegian founder of the Free Lutheran movement, describes it in this way, in a bit of more of a positive perspective. The joy over salvation and the living, gushing love moves these believing men to find more people who need the same liberation they themselves have experienced. They have found the Lamb of God who bears the sins of the world, and there are many who need to find him. Thus, they must go out and bring this great and joyous message, first of all, to those closest. There's a sense of restlessness, urgency. We want these people to know Jesus. Look at how Paul describes the depth of love for his brothers. That's what he calls them. He says, I could wish, listen to this, I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Did you hear that? This is a difficult verse. If I could be cut off from Christ so that my brothers were not, I'd do it. Now, obviously, he knows that's not true. Okay, that's why, yeah, that's not how salvation works, okay? And that's why he uses words here like, I could wish. But it shows the depth of love and the burden that he carries for his Jewish brothers and sisters. Moses actually does the same thing in Exodus 32 after the episode of the golden calf, as he is pleading with God on behalf of the Israelites. Blot me out from your book to forgive them, Moses says there. Again, not reality, but that's the care and concern that Moses and Paul shared for the Israelites, the Jews. Friends, there are people out there who are lost, who need Jesus, and it's entirely appropriate and healthy for us to care about that. In the next chapter of Romans, chapter 10, verse 1, Paul says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. Part of Paul's continued frustration and sorrow is spelled out in verse 4 and the first part of verse 5. These are Israelites, he says. To them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs. So in other words, Paul is saying here, these people, my people, have been blessed in so many ways. They are a unique people. God has given them his word, repeatedly shown them grace. He's made covenants, promises, and yet they're facing condemnation. The Messiah, Christ, came from their race. According to the flesh, he's right there. Literally, at the time of Jesus. He's right there. They're waiting for him. He comes. He says, I'm here. And they reject him. They despise him. And they killed him. It's a sad story. But it's a story that we are familiar with. We know people who have been so blessed. People that God has done so much for. People that have heard the gospel. And they reject Christ and despise his message. And we love these people. We care so deeply for them. It's possible that some of you are here today listening to this. who are maybe one of those people, rejecting the gospel, ignoring this message. You've heard this and you're rejecting it. Dear friend, do not harden your heart. Please listen today. Paul here, very simply and succinctly, presents Christ. Fully man, born in the flesh, and fully God. Over all, blessed forever. He is the one in whom we find freedom, no condemnation, as I read earlier in Romans 8. Forgiveness. He fulfilled God's righteous requirement. He made us heirs of heaven itself. This was made possible because Christ came as fully man and fully God. He is right here. He's right here. He reveals himself to us in his word. And he says to you today, I love you so much that I did actually take on your sin. So Paul and Moses say, I wish we could, but we can't. Jesus actually did. I did take on your sin. I did experience condemnation and death on your behalf so that you could live. It wasn't possible for Moses or Paul to do that, even though that's the love they confessed, but it's exactly what Jesus did. He took on your sin. He experienced condemnation and death in your place so that you, yes, you, could be saved. Look to Jesus. Believe in Jesus. You know, we can kind of wring our hands and get frustrated trying to come up with strategies to win souls. Paul here presents Christ as fully man and fully God. The one who is over all and blessed forever, he writes. He directs our attention to Christ, and I, for one, am very thankful for that. It's very comforting. I'm very thankful that it's not up to my intuition or my clever speech or manipulation to convince people of the truth of Christ. Because then it would be my deal, and that's not what it's about. I'm not able to save. Moses and Paul could say that they wish they could do that, and I would join them. We would join them. But it's not how this works. And so instead, we point them to the one who can save and does save. We point them to Christ, the God-man. And people wrestle with a lot of this stuff. Paul gets pretty deep, actually, in chapter 9 as he continues, and he talks about man's will and things like that. But then he reminds us in verse 20, who are you, O man, to answer back to God? How can the creation question the Creator why he made us like this? Why do these people harden their hearts like this? Who are you, O man, to know those things? Okay, but here's what we do know. What if God, this is verse 22 if you have your Bibles open. What if God is a God of patience and mercy? Chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord over all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. So being an heir of God, being a brother to Jesus, is not about according to the flesh and being born a Jew. It's those people of faith, Jew and Greek. There's no distinction. Faith is what makes us a child of God. Faith in Christ. and his work on our behalf. He is the Lord of all. He is the one who bestows his riches on all who call on him. For everyone, it says, who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You want to know what to do for those that you have a burden for, a heart for? Look at Romans 10:14 if you have your Bibles. Follow along. Listen to this. If those who call on him are saved, then, so we just said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if those who call on him are saved, how can they call on him if they don't believe? And how can they believe if they haven't heard? For whatever reason. Even if they've been to church every Sunday their entire lives, it doesn't mean they've heard. And how can they hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Friends, bring the good news. That's what you can do. Point them to Jesus. And if they don't hear it, keep pointing them that way, because Christ is the only way that they are to be saved. Bring them to church to hear Christ. Hold me accountable to make sure that this pulpit is always pointing people to Christ. Point your children to Christ. When you walk together and pray together and read devotions together, point your spouse to Christ. When you wake up together and when you go to bed and when you fight and when you grieve and when you rejoice and when you celebrate, point one another to Christ. I could go on. I hope you get the point. I want to show you a picture that we'll put up here, hopefully. There it is. This is a picture I took in Germany when I was there a few weeks ago. And it's the picture that's on the altar in the church that Luther was a member of. His kids were all baptized there. It's a beautiful sanctuary. And this picture struck a chord with me. What this is, you can see on the right there, is Luther pointing to Christ from the pulpit and the people listening. It's not a Lutheran thing, it's a Christian thing. It's a biblical thing. This is what Paul does here in our text. My heart aches for these people, and I'm genuinely sad and grieving. And he points them and he points us to Christ, the one who came in the flesh, the one who is blessed forever, God over all. Here's a quote from Luther. This is the gist of your preaching. Behold your God. He says, promote God alone, his mercy and grace. Preach Christ alone. It is in him and in Christ alone that we find salvation for our souls, that our friends, our loved ones, anyone can find salvation for their souls in Christ alone. Amen. Another prayer in our hymns this morning, Lord, this one of joyous tone, a prayer for you to lead on. Not in fear do we follow you, but in joy, with the cross in front of us, the cross over us, the hymn says. We look to the cross. I think of the beautiful episode, wrought through pain, of the bronze serpent. The only healing that is found from the troubles and trials of this life, the only healing and salvation that is found from the fair consequence of eternal condemnation, is the one who was raised on the cross, Jesus Christ. And it is in that cross that we find eternal healing. May we ever be pointing people to you. May we ever be pointing ourselves to you, looking to you, the author of our faith, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith, the one who bore our sins, the one who took on that condemnation and bore it on our behalf so that we could be free. And I thank you and I praise you, dear Jesus, for the freedom that is found in you today. I pray for each person here. I pray if there is anyone here who is not looking to you, that they would repent and that they would turn to you and look to you, trust in you, Lord. Help us to be faithful stewards of this gospel message. Lord, I think of all the different activities that are getting going, confirmation and the fall youth group and kids club and Sunday school and Bible study, and the list goes on, Lord. And I pray that those would be agents of the gospel, avenues where your good news message, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I pray that the good news message would be delivered through all those means. God, wherever we find ourselves, at work or in school, as students begin school again, I pray for them. Lord, I pray for all those, young and old, who are in classes. I pray that you would watch over and protect them, keep them safe. If it's your will, that you would use that area of their life to bless someone, to point someone to you. Lord, I pray for those who are hurting today, for whatever reason. Wherever healing is needed, you know that, Lord. We ask for that. We pray for this young woman, Savannah Graywind. And God, what a tragic and terrible situation this is. If it's your will that if she's alive, that you would rescue and save her, Lord, we pray for that. We pray for this little baby, too. And God, you know that baby, and you knew that baby before it was born. Lord, I pray that you would be very near to that child and that you would comfort that child today. Lord, I pray for our Sunday school teachers and those who are preparing, that you would grant them wisdom. I pray for our missionaries scattered all across the globe. I pray that you would bless them, Lord. I pray for our military servicemen and women and our elected officials, government leaders, Lord, that they would be seeking you, looking to you. Lord, I thank you so much for the many blessings you shower upon us. I thank you for Lori, and I pray that you would bless her now. I just am so grateful to you for her service to our congregation for these years. Father, we thank you for the many ways in which you so abundantly provide for us. And so may we go in joy and thankfulness and excitedness and urgency as we leave today. Hear us now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise and receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.